Classification and prioritization. Qualitative risk analysis. Qualitative analysis is used in risk classification and prioritization to understand, categorize, and rank risks quickly and efficiently. It is a non-mathematical analysis of the various qualities that make up each risk. The analysis can take into account many factors and thus can be nuanced while being cost-effective. The primary factors are probability and impact, but other factors such as urgency are accounted for. Analysts also may need to compensate for data quality or completeness and potential estimator bias. Another factor is the risk tolerance for the specific business constraint, such as time or cost, which may differ by constraint. The various factors are weighed, and the result is a risk rating that can be used to rank the risks in order of importance. Methods and tools used in qualitative risk analysis include the following: risk categorization, probability and impact assessment, risk urgency assessment, data quality assessment, risk categorization. Different conventions exist for categorizing supply chain risks. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines a risk category as a cluster of risk causes with a label such as external, environmental, technical, or organizational. The Global Association of Risk Professionals classifies risk in operational categories. Personnel risk, for example, internal fraud, human error, physical assets. For example, loss of business environments / assets, technology, for example, virus damage, system failures, relationships, for example, liabilities, lawsuits, loss of reputation, external / regulatory, for example, external fraud, government incentives / restrictions. Each organization will define categories of risks in such a way that it helps the organization cluster plan risk responses, perhaps finding actions that can address more than one risk simultaneously. Exhibit 7-6 lists categories of internal and external risks to the supply chain. Exhibit 7-6, internal and external supply chain risks. There are many other ways to categorize supply chain risks, for example, strategic supply chain risks, supply risks, demand risks, process risks, environmental risks, hazard risks, financial risks, malfeasance risks, litigation risks. Each of these categories is discussed next. Note that supply risks, demand risks, process risks, and environmental risks might be grouped together in a larger category of operational risks, which together comprise the core risks facing most supply chains. Strategic supply chain risks. Strategic supply chain risks are those risks that endanger the success of the organization's long-term supply chain strategy. Risks in this category include those that have strong potential to impact business continuity, brand image, reputation, and market share. Supply risks. Supply risks include the types of risk discussed in Exhibit 7-7. The exhibit includes some examples of root causes or red flags that could be recorded for each risk. Some other supply-related risks mentioned in later categories, such as supplier insolvency or counterfeiting, might instead be located in this category. Exhibit 7-7, supply risks and common root causes / red flags. Demand risks. Exhibit 7-8 lists some examples of demand risks and possible root causes or red flags. A key risk in this area is forecasting errors. Most organizations use a mix of statistical forecasting tools and expert judgment, but the error at the level of aggregated product lines, aggregating to reduce forecast error is called risk pooling, is still around 10%. And forecasting error at the SKU level is 40% or more, according to Schlegel and Trent in Supply Chain Risk Management. Exhibit 7-8, demand risks and common root causes / red flags.
Process risks.
Exhibit 7-9 lists some examples of process risks and possible root causes or red flags. Exhibit 7-9, process risks and common root causes / red flags. Environmental risks. Exhibit 7-10 lists some examples of environmental risks and possible root causes or red flags. The definition of what counts as an environmental risk might be expanded to include the political environment, currency exchange rates, and weather-related events. But in these materials, these are addressed in other categories. Exhibit 7-10, environmental risks and common root causes / red flags.
Hazard risks.
Hazard risks are called force majeure in legal terms or acts of God colloquially. These are primarily the natural disasters that cause property damage and business disruptions. but hazards can also include political turmoil, war, government appropriations, product tampering, acts of terrorism, and similar events beyond the organization's control. Financial risks. Financial risks relate primarily to the financial solvency and credit issues of the organization and of others up and down the supply chain. Financial risks also include risks related to volatility of the overall financial market or of commodity or foreign exchange markets. Risks of insolvency or financial difficulty need to be monitored not only for suppliers and customers, but also for service organizations, such as third-party logistics providers, third-party payment vendors, and so on. Financial metrics and monitoring supplier events can provide red flags to watch for that can show when a supplier is in financial distress. Supplier changes its early payment incentives or needs payment first. Supplier is paying its suppliers late. Payables period is increasing. Quality or grade is decreasing. Unusual early shipments may indicate lack of business. Longer lead times may mean that they must order their materials late. Investments in research and development, R&D, equipment, resources, or IT are falling off. Supplier invested heavily in personnel, R&D, or equipment, but there are delays getting new products to market. Supplier's customers are industries in distress. Unusual executive turnover or stock sales occur. Supplier must restate financial statements. Supplier is laying off workers, closing plants, and denying rumors. Organizations in financial distress may make unwise and selfish choices that they would otherwise not be motivated to make. The Great Recession of 2008 is a clear example of a market risk that impacted many areas, not the least of which was a severe tightening in credit availability. Commodity market volatility is another large area of risk for supply chains. According to the IMF, commodity prices since 2005 have had three times as many fluctuations in comparison to the period of 1980 to 2005. According to a McKinsey & Company white paper by Gerken et al., between 2014 to 2018, commodity prices averaged between 10 to 20% in volatility per year, but peaks were as high as 70% of a given year's average price. The energy market was the most volatile, in the 20 to 25% range, while metals and minerals and agriculture were in the 5 to 15% range. End product prices often tend to track fairly closely to their underlying commodity prices. For example, copper wire tracks very closely to copper. Currency exchange risk also exists because most, but not all, currencies are free-floating, meaning that their value can go up or down relative to market forces. If you must pay for inventory or equipment in a different currency, even though the price is fixed, you might need to pay more or less in your own currency after the exchange is factored in. Malfeasance risks. Risks of supply chain theft or other types of loss, fraud, corruption, bribery, abduction, and counterfeiting can be placed in a category such as malfeasance, wrongdoing, risks, litigation risks. Types of litigation risk include product liability, breach of contract, and many others. Probability and impact assessment. A probability and impact assessment involves estimating these attributes for each risk. Impact. This is the magnitude of the loss or gain. It considers the importance of the process or asset at risk to the organization. The impact of potential worst-case scenarios is evaluated and ranked, for example, from insignificant, 5% to minor, 10% to moderate, 20% to major, 40% to extreme, 80%. The organization can decide how to label the categories and assign percentages to these labels. Percentages help estimators come to a common idea of the value of each category. Probability. This is the probability of occurrence. The probability of the scenario occurring is evaluated and ranked, for example, from rare, 10% to unlikely, 30% to possible, 50% to likely, 70% to almost certain, 90%. Once again, the organization can decide on percentages and labels. The final task in this step is to create a matrix where the consequence levels and likelihood are identified for each scenario. This reveals each scenario's overall risk rating. An example from a packaged food company might be employees planning to strike over poor working conditions threaten to deface product packaging as it's being loaded into work trucks bound for a distribution center. This would probably be ranked as possible in likelihood with minor consequences, since the company has been informed about the threat in advance and can take the necessary precautions. A risk rating can be made for a supplier, customer, or product. It is basically a numerical rating of risk that has been normalized so it can be used for benchmarking purposes.
Risk rating is commonly described using the following equation. The combination of probability of occurrence and impact, magnitude of loss creates at least four basic categories of risk levels, as shown in Exhibit 7-11. Organizations can use risk level categories to decide on a risk response. Exhibit 7-11. Categories of risk levels. Obviously, risk levels may occupy a spectrum rather than fitting neatly into categories, but more categories can be made to better approximate this spectrum. Exhibit 7-12 uses the percentage-based probability and impact percentages defined earlier to create a 5x5 matrix with 25 category areas. Exhibit 7-12, probability and impact matrix. In Exhibit 7-12, each box in the matrix is simply the probability percentage times the impact percentage, such as 90% times 80% equals 72%. The exhibit rounds to the nearest percent. The risks can then be placed in categories such as low, no shading, medium, darker shading, and high, darkest shading, as above. The organization will specify in the risk management plan how each category should be addressed. For example, accept all low risks. Do nothing, but monitor them on a watch list. Use expert judgment to decide how to handle medium risks. Make a proactive plan to address all high risks. Note that when an organization's risk tolerances differ by business objective, the risk management plan may specify how to rate risks differently by objective, such as rating delay-related risks as having a higher impact than cost-related risks, and so on. Risk urgency assessment. Organizations need to increase the priority of risks that will require further action based on their urgency. If action is required quickly for a response to be effective, then this analysis might move the response higher in priority and earlier in the schedule. Similarly, other factors may also be used to adjust a risk's priority, such as whether the risk impacts safety, the organization's reputation, or legal obligations. Data quality assessment. A data quality assessment is used to determine how well the given risk is understood. It also assesses the reliability, accuracy, and integrity of the underlying data used to make the assessment. Low-quality data can lead to inaccurate risk ratings. When a risk is rated incorrectly, it can lead to very poor decision-making. For example, a major bank's US $6 billion trading loss was due in part to spreadsheet errors. A weakness included error-prone manual copying and pasting between spreadsheets. Also, there was an error in a value at risk, VAR, spreadsheet model. In one place, it divided by the sum of an old rate and a new rate rather than by their average. For example, failed to divide by 2, which lowered the VAR and made the stock trades seem far less volatile. If the data for the risk assessment are hard to come by, it is important to indicate how tentative the risk rating is and that the risk is not well understood. Flagging such risks for later analysis can help, because many risks become easier to assess as relevant events grow nearer. In the context of data quality, reliability refers to whether the same result would be obtained if the same measurement procedure is used multiple times. Reliability may be affected by bias on the part of estimators, such as preconceived notions or different assumptions about a process or environment. This is one reason why it is important to provide as much guidance as possible to estimators on shared assumptions and give them clear tools like a probability and impact matrix, perhaps with supporting examples at each risk level. Accuracy and data integrity are two related data quality terms. Accuracy is the degree of freedom from error or the degree of conformity to a standard, ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary. Accuracy can be verified by checking the data for math errors and so on. Accuracy may also involve checking risk levels against external sources to see if they conform to available external standards, such as risk databases. Insurance specialists might also check them against actuarial tables. The ISCM Supply Chain Dictionary defines data integrity as the process of assuring that data maintains its accuracy, consistency, completeness, and validity over time. For risk data, this may be determining the predictive quality of risk assessments or responses over time by comparing them to actual results. Circling back. Once all of the various assessments are complete, supply chain managers circle back to reevaluate each risk. This follow-up step involves reevaluating the organization's risk priorities, determining if each is at an acceptable level relative to related risk tolerance levels, or if there needs to be further action taken. Adding the results of the analysis to the risk register. In many cases, risk categorization and analysis is complete at this point. Some organizations choose to quantify certain significant risks or create risk models.